This is a Pinball News production.
Unlike the other sessions, you have an advantage of being here because I have giveaways. So I know what it takes to keep an audience alive. So, anyways, those who don't know me, I'm Rick from Planetary Pinball Supply, licensee of Williams Electronic Gaming, and we're in the parts business. So what we're trying to do is we just had our first discussion at Expo in October, and I'm happy to be here in Texas with all of you guys. And I just want to go through quickly kind of what we're doing, because we just kind of got the rights in October, and it takes a little while to unpack the container and figure out what the hell we have and kind of what we're doing and then get some input. And I've got a couple of trinkets here for you guys, and we'll go from there. So with that, just real quickly, I'm from California, the new center of some pinball, at least on the West Coast. And in fact, Steve Ritchie's address for the last year or two is about 100 yards from my warehouse of parts. So he was a good protector of all my parts. And if you see him selling any of them, then please let me know, and I'll come and hunt him down and kill him. So anyway, I want to go through real quickly a few slides. We'll do jumping jacks kind of sometime in the middle to keep everybody awake. But I want to quickly go through kind of what we're doing and what we do. So next slide. One of the problems, and I'm sure Gary kind of understands this a little bit well, is we have kind of a problem in the pinball business. Is we have kind of this law of pinball parts that doesn't quite add up. Is we've got kind of the collectors that want collector quality stuff. You know, it's got to be perfect. It's got to be 100 times more perfect than was ever off the production line for any pinball manufacturer. And it's got to be reasonable price. In fact, there's a whole group of people that want more than reasonable prices. And then you got to go to the other side and somehow match that up with limited to no volume relative to a supplier. And then, you know, really simple to make, which they're not. And so that's kind of the challenge, I think, of being in this business is trying to make a business out of that and satisfy the customers and go from there. So it's usually the same. You know, the parts are not easy to make. Everybody wants, you know, the perfect thing, and that's kind of what we try to do. So we have to do a lot of things to try to find new ways to make the parts. You know, you can't go to the supplier that made 10,000 widgets for Williams 10 years ago and get them for, you know, 10% more 20 years later. So we have to go figure out ways to do that so that people will, you know, have what they need. Next slide. So I'm just going to go through a few different categories and what we've done in the last few months really quickly. Manuals. We leave them on Internet Pinball Database. That's fine for Williams. That's not going to go away. What we just did is we got Williams to approve us to make reproduction manuals. So that's a first, because previously, for whatever reason, they didn't allow that to happen. So now we've got 40 manuals done, and another 40. They have glossy covers, heavy bound paper, all that kind of stuff. But just that's in the pipeline today. Next, cabinet decals. So we're doing a lot of cabinet decals. One of the things that we acquired when we acquired the license from Williams was some of the intellectual property from Australia, which they actually did a good job trying to figure out how to make cabinet art look like silkscreen cabinets. And it's not trivial. It's not trivial at all. You have to have a lot of expensive equipment, and there's a lot of expensive software and a lot of expensive people, and, you know, you kind of get the idea. It's expensive. And so what we do now is we print, using this next-gen process, cabinet artwork. I have an example of what we just did recently, which is I made it so it's theft-proof. It's in a private pin box, so if you guys want to take a look at that. But what you have is you have a raised ink kind of feeling, like silk screen. It's very durable UV, high-end artwork. It's got a gloss coat. It's not laminated. It's not a cheap inkjet kind of a thing. And that's what we're doing all the cabinet artwork with. And that's kind of what we're doing here. So And that's being made by me directly. And I have an art department that's fundamentally all it does is pinball art. So it's a full art department in a suite of a building that just makes art. And it smells like ink. And every day you leave, you smell like ink. So next.
I have a question.
Yeah. Well, we're already doing them. So the 15 titles are ones that we're already doing. So Twilight Zone, No Fear, Safe Cracker. Huh? No Good Gophers yet. I mean, typically I'll take art, and if I get the art one way or the other, and we try to kind of do the CPR thing is get artists to help us, you know, work through the art. But if I get, you know, good vectored or scanned art, then we can turn it around pretty quickly. I mean, Stu Wright did that Bride of Pinbot for us, and within a few days we had it out. And, you know, the good part about the process is, you know, if I want to change the purple a little bit, I change the purple, and I don't have to rerun, you know, 100 silkscreen stuff, and the cost is you know, at or better than what silkscreening would do. And the output's actually going to be higher resolution than silkscreen, well, looking like silkscreen. But to your point, you know, we've got, you know, I just got the license for No Fear, so we've done No Fear. Star Trek Next Gen's coming. Twilight Zone's out. You know, all the typical, you know, Cactus Canyon, blank of all those. But, you know, that's on their way out. Okay, next. Caps. I know Steve Young's been doing caps for a while with Williams stuff on it. I don't know if he's still doing it or not. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. We're doing them. We're doing them hot stamp caps. They're real high quality, and they're out now. In fact, you know, I have some Star Trek ones. That's one of the giveaways. So I got to go figure out how to give away right now. So we'll work on that. And your Kim is going to be my giveaway decision maker. So, all right. Thank you, Kim. So we'll do that. We'll do that at the end, because if I do it now, then you'll leave, and so I know better. So we're doing caps, all sorts of caps, hop stamped, and with the pointy stars on the end, and things like that.
Rick, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Two things. Is the process that you're using the process?
No. We're using the high-tech process.
Second question.
In fact, wait a minute. No, that's kind of unjust, but it's kind of not. Well, I have a little movie of kind of what it looks like and what it is, but it's a, I don't know, a gazillion-ton press, you know, hot stamp automatic tool. In fact, this has been a long saga. It looks simple, but, you know, I bought a $2,500 hot stamp, and we spent so much time and energy and threw away so much stuff trying to get the stupid thing to work, and it didn't. And what you realize is you got to get something that puts down exactly the right pressure for exactly the right time, for exactly the right temperature, and then it kind of works. But, you know, so that costs more than $2,500. That's like $10,000, you know, so that's...
Something near and dear to my heart. Have you ever thought about doing, like,
Yeah, I mean, I got Gary in the room, so I'm happy to do anything for anybody so long as I have the right to do it, okay? So, and Gary and we talked about this a long time ago. So as long as there's nothing intellectual property-wise that holds me back, or there's nothing that says that, you know, if it's a Stern part that Gary's got any... worry about it, then we can do any of that stuff. It's not a big deal. Who does? Oh, wow. There you go. Okay, so we, you know.
I haven't talked to her since yesterday.
Yeah, so you know, so, and Gary and I talked about this 6 months ago, and we're having those kind of discussions. Yeah.
Can I ship you some of the caps so we could work through a full set for all the games?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, as long as I have the rights holder saying okay one way or the other, then we can sort it out. Anyway, So yeah, I mean, that's kind of the message here is, you know, we do what people need us to do. So next slide. Okay, playfields. So this is a big year for playfields, believe it or not. When I first got in here, I made a call to CPR and I said, I want you to do twice as much as you're doing today in terms of playfields and plastic sets and glass. And you'll notice that they're turning out a little bit more than they were because, you know, we kind of want to kind of crank that up a little bit. So right now I've got, you know, and the way I work is, you know, I come from Silicon Valley. We work with lots of people to get lots more things going. I do a little bit myself. I do artwork directly, and I have a couple of direct suppliers that do things. Otherwise, we use kind of supplier-seller type model. And so we've got five play field manufacturers queued up making play fields. CPR, everybody knows. They're doing... Oh, they've done the minis play fields, the Twilight Zone, which is another giveaway, by the way. The mini Twilight Zone, Shadow, Space Shuttle, Cyclone, Firepower, Flash Gordon, High Speed. That's for this year. Mirko in Germany, who did the Attack from Mars and Whitewater, is doing Twilight Zone. I've got a movie of that with his robot. And then there's another one that Mirko's going to be doing at least this year. And then there's a WPC one that we're doing that is right here. So for everybody to, you know, if you didn't know already, since everybody knows everything here, so we're doing Getaway, and that should be in the next 30 to 60 days. So the wood's already cut, the inserts are in, the artwork's done. What I'm encouraging the guys that are doing the artwork is to publish it in some non-stealable form so that people can review it so we don't have another Red Hat Whitewater problem ever again. You know, that was too much of a pain in the ass. So anyway, so Getaway is going to be out. Twilight Zone is going to be out in the next 30 days. And, you know, more. You know, I'm waiting for Medieval Madness from TPF, but I've been waiting for 3 years, so... You know, I don't know how long I'm going to wait. But so that's kind of with play fields. You know, play fields drive parts. Parts is good. And, you know, probably another six WPC games for this year. So don't know which ones to tell you right now, but that's what's going on with play fields. Next, translates. So we make translates. I make them directly. In fact, I print them directly when I'm bored. But... So we're making all sorts of translights. Just a few have started coming out right now. You know, we can pretty much make any translight that needs to be made from, you know, existing artwork. So, for example, here's the Twilight Zone that I just printed a couple days ago. So anybody wants to, this is a real reproduction, I guess is what you call a translight. So for anybody of the doubting people who don't know how to make translights, we know how to make translights. So, you know, and we actually tune the colors what we want the colors to be. And anybody that's in an art department knows kind of color is subjective. And it's kind of interesting. I use X-ray, you know, those X-ray windows thing, and I got regular daylight light, and I have outside light, and you put a translight behind it, and they look like totally different translights because of the yellow versus the white spectrum. So you can get a lot of different results depending on what light you want to tune the translights to. So and those are geared to light up, you know, the same when they're off and the same when they're on as to what the original was trying to be. You know, and we can, I mean, the good part again with this process is if we're off, you know, I just adjust it and we print some more. You know, so I don't have a big expense if we want to tweak a color or do something goofy with it. Okay? So anyway, that's made in California. Next. Targets, same as hot stamping. We're hot stamping targets till we're blue in the face. So we got lots of targets, we got tombstone targets, we got all sorts of targets. So, you know, whatever targets we need, we're happy to do stern targets. Doesn't matter. We can do those. Back glasses. So CPR is doing a lot of good work with the silver type back glasses. So they've kind of mastered, cracked the code on silver. And then what I've also got going is some EM back glass stuff. So a couple folks that are kind of the old school, you know, silkscreen, ruby lith type silkscreeners are up to do some back glasses. So we've got Ron Webb. I think the first one he's doing is Big Ben, 1964. And then we've got a queue of a bunch of other Williams Valley early EM spot color type glasses that are in the works. So again, what I'll do is on the website, we'll have a request, you know, and try to figure out, typically these are 20 to 30 type run. And so if we get enough people that, you know, are kind of close to that, then we'll just kind of commission the artwork to get done and do it. So, you know, at least we'll get a lot more back glasses out, you know, to the degree that there's demand for them. Next. Yeah. No, no. Ron Webb is authorized to do a certain set of back glasses for under our authority. So yeah. So nobody works for me, you know. Yeah, I mean, typically on the low run stuff, I let the suppliers, like, you know, if CPR, you know, either the stuff that's logistically challenging, you know, to ship around, like play fields or glasses, I let the people that make them, you know, and then we have an arrangement that, you know, there's holograms that we make that go on those things so I can track stuff. And Williams is copacetic with all that because it's orderly. You know, as long as things are orderly in this market, then, you know, the licensees are usually happy. If they're not orderly, they're not happy. So that's kind of what we try to do. So glasses will typically, you know, Ron Webb would probably sell them directly because it's, you know, I may run the queue of who wants them because I've got a site that people go to, you know, and then we're going to probably run some of our own glasses directly as well. So it kind of depends on where it's going to be, but we'll make sure the pinball.com website kind of tells people where to find this stuff and what's coming, okay? You know, which is something I got to do better. I'm probably going to use Twitter or something like that to just tweet out kind of new parts so we don't have to kind of keep that going. EPROM's not a big deal, but EPROM's were kind of kiboshed by Williams a year or two ago because everybody was bootlegging them and selling them on eBay and stuff like that. So figured out a way to kind of get past that, and so now people are able to sell that stuff directly. And, you know, at least people can get e-prompts. I mean, they can always download them, but not everybody knows how to program. Next, plastic sets, same kind of thing. CPR is the predominant supplier of those things, but I also directly make those out of the original artwork. In fact, the latest one that we're doing is No Fear. So No Fear, I don't think, was ever done. So, you know, I'm not sure anybody wants it done, but we did it. So No Fear is being done right now. It'll be shipped to me in a week, and then distributors will have that, and you know, more on their way. Again, we can do as much play fields, you know, between CPR. They're kind of loaded, and you kind of know what their cue is, but we can do others as well. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I'm kind of a little bit, let's say the suppliers hear from me when quality is not where it's supposed to be, okay? So I am one of those kind of people who pretends I'm a customer, and when I get something that's a piece of shit, I kind of say, guys, you're not doing a really good job. And then they get annoyed at me for telling them that the customers are not happy. So the answer is yes. We've heard about some of the things are kind of human error, like the diner colors and, you know, some of these things that they run. And, you know, silk screening is not as simple, you know, of an art, even for the people that do it all the time. You know, I got caught up by the hang glider piece of plastic that's 20% bigger and stuff like that. I mean, trust us, nobody in this industry wants to screw up. Nobody does, because the amount of time that it takes to unwind all of, you know, a mistake is far greater than the time that we have to do it. So, you know, nobody wants to build a bad product. Nobody's trying to do that. Every now and then it happens, and, you know, I mean, we try, you know, everybody.
Plastic is important to me more than anything else. I've been seeing, you know, it's just an area where the quality is improved. You know, I've got 4 or 5 sets in New York.
Yeah. Well, then send them to me, send them to the supplier that you know likely made them, and then you know, we try to figure out why that's happening. You know, because it shouldn't. Right. Well, trust me, you know, I have another personality. I have many personalities. My other personality, Bay Area Amusements, I get totally annoyed when, you know, I have to go sell a half dozen customers, and then all of a sudden they all call me and say this thing's broken, and I have to spend time returning it and, you know, trying to make them happy and stuff like that. It's not what I want to spend my time doing. So, you know, so I agree with you, and I think there's nobody that's trying to make the quality go down at any expense. So, you know, you can always send me something that says this is not okay. You know, trust me, I have phone calls with them all the time. Not all the time, but whenever it happens.
You know, it's a build-up different, and that's the frustrating part about it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, that goes back to the Newton's law of pinball. It's really kind of complicated. Next. You know, so decals, you know, I've got a print department now. I make all the gazillion decals out there. So, you know, we spend a lot of time color correcting and matching and trying to get the right materials and yada, yada, yada. So, you know, more and more of these, you know, any of the Target, Spinner, Topper, whatever kind of decals we do directly now. So that's all, you know, in-house. And, you know, we're just ramping up on all that stuff as well. And more decals. I just did the Earthshaker, you know, decal set because somebody on RGP wanted it. Just did the Star Trek Next Gen apron decals, Twilight Zone apron decals. In fact, the Star Trek ones we did in gold mirror ink, so it kind of looks, it's kind of like the bling version of Star Trek stuff. But, you know, so we've got all that done and pushing out to the distributors. Next. Molded parts, you know, for the last year or two, you know, part back to the original problem of how do you make short-run parts. We know how to make short-run parts now. So, you know, Bay Area Amusements, my other personality, has been behind a process to go make just about all of this hard-to-make stuff that used to require a $10,000 mold or a $4,000 mold with a $0,000 mold. So all of this stuff is coming out that's been coming out for the last year or two, the 100 or 150 molded plastic parts that, you know, were otherwise not available are now available. We can make just about, you know, any of this really hard stuff without huge tooling costs for short run products. And the plastic is good enough. You know, every now and then there's a screw up, you know, like the lightning flipper bolts break every so often, and we try to figure that one out. But that's kind of an extreme case of a plastic getting high impact. But we've been making all of these different plastic parts for, you know, the last year and a half. So those are now kind of under PPS. And, you know, and Gary, we should talk sometime because, you know, for some of the older stuff that you may or may not have the tooling for, you know, this is kind of a good way to get some of that stuff that, you know, maybe people want that we can kind of slip, you know, 50 into the system without, you know, raising any problems, you know, and just do it that way. Because there's no tooling cost, and it's a reasonable price per part, you know, price that you can get some markup and sell. So we're doing a lot of that stuff, you know, like the latest one is that little red post for Medusa and stuff like that we're doing, and, you know, whatever else needs to be done out there. And the turnaround can be as short as a couple of weeks, so it's not that hard even to do a complicated part. Next slide. And then, you know, last but not least is just the gazillion metal parts, you know, posts and brackets and anything metal, you know. So we probably have 500 or 1,000 metal parts that were made, and we continue to keep making, and we'll make more, and everybody needs metal parts, I guess. So that's that, and I think that's it. Okay. So, you know, that's kind of the categories of what we're primarily doing. We're not doing PC boards. I mean, I can do PC boards because I have all the Gerber files for them, but there's enough people out there doing PC boards. You know, I'm not in this mode of doing things that other people are doing. It doesn't, you know, doesn't get me excited to do that. So, you know, there's other categories that we're working on. We've got coil winders and stuff like that. I've got Williams, you know, coil tape, you know, up the kazoo and things like that. So we'll be probably putting out all that stuff, but you know, most of that stuff's commonly or reasonably commonly available. And you know, anything else that people need, you know, other categories, whatnot, we can go do. So it's really, you know, we just listen to what people say. You know, I poke around the news group, but news group is kind of, you know, kind of gives you a direction. It doesn't necessarily tell you that there's more than one person out there that wants something. But we have a pretty good idea. We've been doing pinball parts for 10 years, so we kind of know what people want and what, you know, what would sell and what kind of price point, you know, which is the other thing is, you know, what will people pay for something is, you know, when I do a part, I start with what would people reasonably pay for something, and then can I make it for that? I don't start kind of, here's the price, it's going to be a gazillion dollars, and everybody has to pay two times gazillion dollars. It just doesn't work that way. So that's kind of what we're doing. You know, so with that, I have a couple little are you guys, you know, this is like driver's ed. Do you want a little movie to kind of lighten up a little bit, or? All right. So here's the movie. It's kind of like when you vote for, you know, the news story that we want to broadcast. So I've got Mirko's robot, you know, the robot that makes play fields. I've got a couple. They're like just 30, 40-second clips on that. I've got a video on I asked some of the suppliers to say, can you show me, you know, show everybody kind of how you do some of this stuff. So do me a favor. Click on the robot one. So this is a Twilight Zone play field being made right now. So it's just a couple days old. But this is Mirko, who does high-class pinballs. He made the Attack from Mars and Whitewater playfield, and he's doing Twilight Zone right now, and he's going to do another A-title game during the summer. But he's got a machine shop and a robot just for pinball playfields, and so that's what he does. I guess it does what a robot's supposed to do, right? So you can stop that. Anyways, so that's the robot. Why don't we click on the making caps? You asked a question about how the hot stamping or the caps were made. So here's a inside look at caps and targets. Everything's harder than you think. The obligatory trade secret message. So basically these caps are, you know, printed with the stars, which was not easy to do, and then with 1,730 pounds of stamp force, then it basically hot stamps the image, you know, through a metal die with temperature and pressure, you know, into the cap itself. And so this is, you know, the Playboy ones being done, which, you know, we just released and have approval from Hefner and others to go do it. So that's a cap being made. Do me a favor, click, kind of go a little bit to the farther end. I think I asked for like a 2-minute video, and as usual, some people give you a 12-minute video, and some people give you a 40-second video. A little bit farther, I think. This is the pad printing of the Roadshow eyeballs that we did. So we basically made the Roadshow and Funhouse eyeballs, and then you have to pad print them, which is a curved print for the red or the pupils and the eyeballs. So this is kind of that device doing that for the eyeballs. So that's kind of how those weird shapes get on those weird, you know, shaped items. And so, you know, the trick is, you know, you draw a graphic of what a round thing is, and then you have to show how, you know, you have to distort it so it kind of maintains that shape over a weird shaped object. So, but that's how we make a bunch of different stuff with those type of tools. I think we're done with that. I think everybody gets the idea. And then maybe a real quick one on the laser plastics video. But this was from CPR, who just kind of went and kind of showed how the laser works for what they do with the... And Kim, we're almost at the end of the program, so you need to come up here to figure out how you're going to give away this stuff, okay? He didn't know that this was going to happen, so... No, well, Glare Guards is kind of a... Glare Guards is a really touchy subject. You know, I was telling, you know, I guess we should tell them. Well, we've been working on an adjustable glare guard, you know, automatically adjustable, and we patented it, and we're going to put him out of business. So we, you know, unfortunately, we're still friends, but we're not going to, he's not going to have a good time, because we're going to, that's right. But yes, I do sell glare guards, and they're probably the most, I think they were the outstanding product of 2010. Is that right?
Buried in your website.
Okay. So yeah. Anyway, this is kind of the laser cutting for plastics. That's Kevin Waite from CPR. You can't hear him, but I'm sure it will be self-explanatory. Why don't you make it full size? Given that we don't have sound here, maybe we can, you know, go to some questions, or and then that will give you time to figure out how we're going to do this. You want me to show you what we're going to give away? Okay, so we got these things, this thing, and that transit, which will all be on eBay within 24 hours, and this thing. Okay, so. So this is all the laser cutting at CPR. So, yeah.
I'm John Gerwitz from Halifax.
Hey, John.
I see the laser cutter go. You want me to just explain?
Sure.
What's going on?
Sure. Okay, so what the guys have in Canada, we buy a lot of Chinese stuff. So it's a Chinese laser cutter. So the box, you saw the brown box cabinet with the glass that they look inside, and they adjust the speed so it doesn't burn the plastic, and you can watch it slowly tracking around. So they program in a cut file. Here's the honeycomb in the back. You see it against the wall. The plastic rests on this honeycomb. You see it on the outside of this plastic sheet there. They'll probably be able to cut maybe, I don't know, 30 to 100 plastic sets before what happens, the plastic drops out into this honeycomb and it starts burning up. So after a while, they have to replace the honeycomb there. So what the guys do, they silk screen the colors onto a standard PETG plastic sheet. I think it's like 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet that they get cut. When they place in the machine, they've got alignment marks. You see the little crosses there? There's a few on there that they use. So what they have is like a little piece of masking tape with the crosshairs. So each piece of plastic sheet goes in, and they line it up. There it is right there. So they reference two of the crosshairs for production. So when they go in, all of them should be exactly the same way in cutting. Let's see. Here I think they're showing either the laser or something else. What the laser cutter does, there's a glass tube, and it's water-cooled. So they have to make sure that the water stays cool, or else you can burn up the glass laser tube. I think they're about, $300 or $500 or $1,000 a tube. They probably go through a couple of tubes every year. Sometimes they used to have a backup tube, and they'd off gas, so it's totally useless. Here... I'm not sure what's going on. But usually, like, they'll start the laser, and you'll see it tracking across the different play fields. So usually they'll go on the outside cutting the shapes, and then before, this is the final stage where they're lifting them clear. So usually what they're doing, they're tracing the bulk of the each individual plastics, and then they go back afterwards, and the laser cuts the little holes where the post screws or the screws go in. And the final stage is like they just pick them up, package them, put on the stickers, and that's it. I can answer any questions towards that process if you have any. Any questions? No. And they get bagged here, then they either go direct or they go to the wholesalers.
So it's a cool technology. Like I say, being in Canada, a lot of our products we buy from China. So a lot of the stuff, they've got cutting-edge technology. I've got the vinyl plotter cutter of my own for $1,000, less than $1,000 U.S. So the technology is really coming down that you can do stuff.
Thank you, John.
Right?
Thanks, John.
All right.
God, it's good to have backup, right? All right. So any questions?
Is it possible to make like a do you guys make like there's plastic ramp like on taxi? Do you do like that big of a piece or not?
If it's a molded plastic ramp, you mean?
Yeah.
Like the red ones or on taxi? There's two things. The molded stuff we can make ramps. In fact, we make the Medieval Madness under ramp. That's made out of a thermal mold, not a vacuform mold. So we make that out of a mold. So we can make small ramps that way. But, you know, and again, you don't have to go through a $3,000 mold, you know. But for the most part, James has most of the molds, and, you know, he makes that stuff. I mean, the advantage is if we need red or a different color where they don't typically have it, we can mix up any color we want, you know. So for people that are scratching their heads about how to make red ramps when, you know, you got to buy 2 tons of red ramp, you know, stuff, we can make those as long as they're, you know, a smallish size, you know. And so we can mix up any color as we've done. So like the medieval ones used to be green painted because they couldn't get the green material. We just do it with thermoplastic and just mix the color up ourselves. So depending on how big that ramp is, the answer is kind of yes, we could if it's small enough.
You hear what you're showing here is a lot of the stuff that we use all the time are getting easier to make. You're making them with, you know, robots and things like that. There's still some pinball parts that we hear are just not, you just can't make them anymore, like the whitewater top or the foil or the black.
So let me interrupt you. On the whitewater topper, I can make the whitewater topper. We've gone and figured out how to make the stupid whitewater topper. The stupid whitewater topper is very expensive to make. It was a unique process at the time with foil stamping, all sorts of crazy, you know, stuff. And, you know, there's lots of layers in the stupid thing. And we can do it as long as I can get a whole bunch of people to give $100 to $150 a piece.
Which people would go ahead and do?
Well, so I'm going to go stick something on RGP and say, look, if I can get, you know, it's probably got to be at least $100. It's probably at least $15,000 to do that whitewater topper. Okay, $15,000 for one, and then we'll be able to adjust the price for the other ones.
You go in there to RGC and put, I can make that whitewater topper.
So the whitewater topper can be done, and if it's done, it can be done in 4 to 6 weeks, you know, once I pull the trigger. So we've already figured out how to do it. We know who's going to do it. There's only like one or two companies in the world that can do it, and we figured out how to do it. So that one we can do.
Creature hologram, is that a...
Well, the creature hologram is another problem because Gene has a license. It's a gazillion licenses. And then, you know, last time they didn't do exactly the best job making a hologram, you know, because they did it in China and they oxidized the whatever. And, you know, so the answer is, you know, I've already got, you know, the first thing I did is I talked to Gene and I said, Gene, I can get the statue. That's not a problem. We just got to get a good hologram maker. And, you know, at the time, I'm not sure Gene's my friend right now, but at the time, Gene said, that's not a problem. We can go get it made. So he's got the license for Universal for Monster Bash, and then we've got a patent on the creature thing, but, you know.
Are you asking us, like Gary was asking us, to become part of this process? I mean, do you want people...
Well, For anybody that knows me, I only do things when people want them. You know, I don't.
So take an active part. If you need a part built, go to.
Yeah. So the good news is those two parts I already know about, and probably 4 months ago we were already trying to figure out how to get them made. So the problem is quite often it's not just knowing how to get them made. It's about running through the hoops with licensing, or, you know, if people want to extract their pound of flesh from you to get them made, and, you know, and then the process, and then the risk, you know, and then whether the customers are really going to come here,
that's
you know.
Do we need a posse to go with?
Well, yeah, I mean, what for that kind of stuff, and, you know, I hate to do pre-orders because I hate to collect money before I have something. I hate it. You know, I did that once, and I don't like to do it. But on some stuff like that, I may need to do it, you know, because otherwise I'm not going to go and do a whitewater topper decal if 12 people, you know, step up. It's just, you know, I'm going to sit on too much money that I can't do other things with. So it's as simple as that. You know, the good news is we can do it. We figure out how to do it. The bad news is we got to kind of get enough people to come to the table.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a question on the CPR reproduction. In your slideshow, Space Odyssey, Space Mission, Plastics. Is that coming out this year?
Yeah, I think it's on their site because I just stole it off their site today.
Check.
Yeah.
Also, any word on the status of the so-called manual play field now that the back glass plastics are
available? I don't know. I have the whole list of what CPR is going to do, but it, you know, I'm overrunning them right now. So that's what they told me the list was for 2011 play field. So, you know, it's probably 2012 maybe. John?
Hey, Rick. I find, like, seeing what the guys do with CPR, one of the biggest rollbacks for getting more play fields done around the world is Foremost Plastics. Is there any thought of you?
Yeah, we've already solved that. We've already solved that. So yeah, we have two or three companies that'll do dies for inserts. So that's already done. For CPR, what happens is these five or six guys that do play fields seem to think that they were competing with each other. And I said, no, you're not competing because I only give the license to one of you, so there's no competition. You know, only one of you gets to do it, so you're not competing. So share some technology, and let's all make good play fields. So they're starting to do that. So, in fact, CPR is getting inserts from another one of the guys, and that's helping. It's speeding things up, you know, and we'll buy for Foremost or anywhere else, you know, Churchill or whoever's got stuff. I don't care. You know, they're just inserts. Anything else? Anybody? The toppers, yes. The decals I can't because I don't have a license, but the toppers I can do. The problem with that is the gray plastic, which we've kind of sorted out, but it'll probably take another month or two to get them done. You know, that's another example where that gray plastic, for some reason, is like a gray plastic that is nowhere in the universe, and you've got to buy a gazillion pounds to go make it happen, and nobody wants to buy a gazillion pounds of that plastic. So we found a way to kind of get it to happen, and it's supposedly happening in the next month or two. Anything else? No stump the guest or anything?
We'll know when these things come out, when they hit like Bay Area Amusements and stuff.
Well, they hit distributors. So I work on distributors. Let's say my one personality works on distributors. My other personality is a distributor. But yeah, I mean, when we make parts, we don't advertise the parts because, for the most part, people aren't going to buy from us. I mean, we are putting our store up in the next few weeks, primarily to showcase what we have, and you can buy there. But for the most part, we distribute through Europe, Australia, and the U.S., you know, Marco and Best of Pinball and TPF in Australia. Those guys all carry the stuff, and they're all stocking the stuff. So it's working, you know, a distributor model. And, you know, and we just try to do that. And when they don't, then we'll have it on our site. So it'll work anyway.
Do your website have a way where to go to look at that stuff that's available? For example, I'm looking for Indie SciArt.
There is a distributor, I think, called Bay Area Amusements that has some in stock. So you can try them. Yeah.
One final question. I won't ask what the translates may have done. For Twilight Zone, but like I've been testing with my printer, printing the PETG, is there any thought of approaching Williams to see if the same the technology you could just print right to the back of PETG? So you instead of buying prints, like you got brand new PETG with the artwork already installed behind it.
Printed. For a translate?
Yeah.
Why would I want to do that?
I'm just curious. Okay.
Well, I'd want to go the other way. I'd want to put something in a tube. Than versus ship something that goes like this and snaps when FedEx gets their hands on it. So, you know, I don't like big things like this with FedEx. So the opposite, so we get along with Williams really well because we tell them what we're doing and we don't cheat. So it kind of works. But let's just say that in terms of artwork for back glasses, you know, we can pretty much do whatever we need to do, you know, as long as Williams is okay. And they're okay with, obviously, all the replacement translights. They're probably okay with us turning some back glass stuff into translights, you know, got to go figure out which ones to go do, and they're okay with us doing glass. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of doing stuff on PETG because it scratches. So, you know, I mean, I'll do it on translates, but, you know, it's not really a problem because it's using the same material, plus it's got a protective, you know, thing on it, and that's the way it came. So, you know, we'll typically either do things on glass or on polycarb, you know, the translite stuff, and then do some hybrids if it makes sense. Anything else? Okay. Where's my right-hand man? Okay, so here's what we have. Where's the translite? Did somebody already steal it? Okay, so we have some giveaways, and we were going to throw it out to the crowd, but there's liability issues. So we're going to start with the small stuff so that nobody leaves because the big stuff is last. First thing is a custom special when lit nightlight. You don't see these even on the floor down there because we make these. Special art. Is that good?
Sure.
Okay.
Who has children? Friends are excluded, sorry.
I will go with you.
Was that an easy enough question for everybody? Here. Okay. Now this one is the special limited edition red version.
Who has a mistress? Let's see, guys wearing hats. Who's the ball?
Oh, there we go. See, it's a good thing we didn't do the pinball question like we did with Sam Harvey last time. That was a disaster. Now, these are Star Trek 1978 caps, hot stamp caps.
Who has the Star Trek game?
I got it.
Yep. Okay, there you go. That was an easy one. All right, now we have a Twilight Zone. This is the CPR Twilight Zone one. And the story on this, by the way, is the CPR guys, you know, Mirko is doing the Twilight Zone set, and everybody's saying, well, why the hell did you guys have two people doing the same thing? It's because CPR actually had a lot of leftover wood, and they said, hey, we could do the mini play fields and use up all our wood. And I said, oh, let's do the mini play fields. And so I said, okay, you can do the mini play fields. And I talked to Mirko, and I said, Mirko, they're going to do mini play fields. And he said, okay. So that's how it happens. You know, people wanted to debate the logic of doing it. It's because a lot of people need mini play fields, and Mirko's not going to be selling mini play fields separately. So it kind of makes sense. Anyway, so there's one mini play field.
So who's got a Twilight Zone?
Everybody's got a Twilight Zone now.
For 10 years or more.
Who's lying? All right. God, I didn't know he was going to be so good. I may have hired him. So, all right. This is.
And thank you for being honest.
This is something that. Oh, we're losing all the pieces. This is something that we did, which is the Star Trek Next Gen apron decals. Boy, if Steve Ritchie were here, we could double the price on this. But what we did is we did this in mirror ink. So unlike the original, which was kind of gold and silver, this is actually gold reflective and silver reflective ink in black decals. So we have three different versions of this, but this is the bling version. If anybody wants it, or they can put it on eBay. I don't care.
What do they go to?
The Star Trek Next Gen.
Oh, okay. Who's got a Star Trek Next Gen?
All right. See, you had this one. You had to be excited. Okay, and last but not least, and before I want to give a caution. This peel off protective film. Please don't call me and complain that it looks dull and looks really bad, because you got to peel the film off. I can't tell you how many people call me up and yell at me like I'm the biggest idiot because I sold them plastic sets or trans lights that are crap. And then I say, did you peel off the protective film? And then, you know, just dead silence. So anyway.
Okay, again, Twilight Zone orders. Who's pre-ordered The Wizard of Oz?
Ah, that was a tricky one.
Last one.
That was the last one. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, this stuff's just. So, and you know, like everything else, guys, just call. You know, call is not good. Email. I do look at email, except I get like 500 emails, and you know, if I don't reply, it might be that it kind of fell off the page and stuff like that. But you know, if you need stuff done, or you know, you have ideas, or you have ways to get stuff done, you know, just let us know. This is not a big drama. I mean, we're just trying to make pinball parts. So, you know, let's see what we can do, and that, you know, you kind of see what we're doing, and we can adjust as we need to. All right. So thanks a lot, and that's it. Ah, pizza.